Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank.
Should I add Marcher in with that?
Absolutely. Okay. Add Marcher into my introduction starting next week. Because this is actually going to be probably my first real foray into any sort of marching activism. I mean, I feel like I'm an incredibly passionate person and activist and stand up for things or speak out. I sit here every week and talk about things. But this is, you know, I was trying to think, like, when else have I put my feet to the ground on an issue in my lifetime? You know, maybe smaller things. But this is like my first kind of larger foray. So, yes, we will add Marcher after this week, depending on how I do. I mean, I have to be able to march first. I have to find my way through this. And it's interesting. It says a lot about the world of social media today, because from the way I guess I have filtered the information that comes into my life, it seems that every person in the world is gearing up to go marching somewhere this weekend on Saturday, no matter where it is, in Washington or San Francisco or Sacramento or here in San Luis Obispo or in Selma or in Hawaii or in Europe. I mean, from the news that I'm receiving, this feels like a global experience that's about to happen. And yet I was talking to my niece a week or so ago and, you know, just assuming she'd be all over the march somewhere in Denver. She had no idea what I was talking about. And first I was dismayed because how can you be a college student and not know this is happening? That concerns me about what's going on college campuses, because if college campuses aren't active, then nobody's active, right? The youth is what pushes ahead most movements of any sort of social import. So that concerned me. But then it also reminded me about what we talk about regularly, is that we've all become very adept at putting ourselves in these silos of information, to, you know, coin a very cliched term, where, you know, we get filtered information about the things we care about. And so last night I was actually scrolling through thinking, what pages or things should I like or look up so that I'm fed more information that kind of balances what I hear? You know, and I was hovering my finger over the like Glenn Beck's page or like Rush Limbaugh. I was like hovering over Fox, like, should I hit this? Because if I do, I'm going to start getting information from that point of view. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So I added more Politico and Media Facts and, you know, factcheck.org things so that would come into my feed. But when it comes to the marches that are coming this weekend, like the Standing Rock movement, I hope it bursts out of the filtered way that it's being processed in the world and that it becomes a mainstream experience and it gets the momentum that it deserves, because this feels exciting. This feels like one of those incredible moments in history, and it's such an honor. And it's so exciting to be in a place, to be a part of something that can have the potential of taking off. And, you know, more than ever in history, we need something to take off. We need something that gets grounded in forward momentum for the things that the majority of people care about. And, you know, that in some way the masses feel like their voice has an impact. Something along the lines of the abolitionist movement or the civil rights movement or the women's movement, things that had fundamental impact on the future or the direction of our culture. It feels like we're at that moment again. And it feels for me, and because I live in the world of the millennials as an instructor, it feels to me that, like, if we don't engage the young people in something that makes them feel like there is hope for a better future for them, we will lose them. We will lose them to apathy. We will lose them to frustration. We will lose them to disappointment. We will lose them to anxiety and depression and medications and binge drinking and all those things that numb them from the experience of being alive, because they get way too much negative news all the time. They get way too much negative information and sad stories and feelings of being defeated and having no chance to turn the ship. And who can get inspired to make a difference with that much heavy information coming down all the time? So this Saturday feels big. this January the 21st feels incredibly important on so many levels. So I'm excited. I am excited for everyone who's participating. I'm excited for our country. I'm excited for our communities and each community that's getting involved. I was looking at the Women's March website, and they have kind of a running tally. And as of an hour or so ago, the last time I read it, they had 616 sister marches registered that are happening in every state in the United States and six continents. I mean, that's amazing. They're expecting 194,000 marchers in D.C., but many say that that's a woefully underestimated number. So today, I want to talk about why we march. Why would you march? Why do we need to march? What is this all about? What has it ever got us, right? What has marching ever done for us as a culture? I'm going to talk a bit about some of the successful marches. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines. And I'd like to know, if you're marching, why are you marching? What's getting you to put your feet on the ground? What's getting you to make a sign or wear purple or stand up for something? What's getting you out the door and into the cold or into the elements this weekend? Why do you march? Because I think that conversation brings us all together in a really important way, because we all have things that we care deeply about. And what's interesting about this march, the organizers have said, is that it's more pluralistic. It's not a one-issue march. It's a bringing together of many different conflicting agendas into one place to say, although we have many different primary concerns, what we all agree on is that we believe in human rights, in social justice, and equality and opportunities for all. So I'll be curious to know, why does he march? And have you marched before? Where have you put your feet on the ground before? So I'm looking forward to the conversation. I'm feeling excited about this week. I am Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of the conversation by calling 805-781-3875. You can also find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. If you like our page, you'll get updates every week about what we're talking about. You can leave comments. You can send me a message. It's a great way to connect. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can listen to podcasts. If you do enjoy listening on your devices, go to iTunes or your app store and search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist and subscribe, and the shows will be uploaded. And I know that Bree's been working diligently to keep all of the shows current. And so if you...
Yep.
Thank you, Bree.
I can confirm that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, as always. And also, if you'd like to go to our website, kcbx.org, under the News Talk tab is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and you can listen to previous shows from the last 3 years, 4 years, all loaded there for your convenience. So I love having to be a part of the conversation and getting feedback to know what resonates with you. So let's talk about marching. All right. As I said, I'm new to the world of marching for a cause. And it's not because I've not been active. I've been busy in many different causes in my life. But to be honest, I wouldn't consider myself an activist of any large measure or any huge measure. I know too many of my friends who truly are activists, who have put themselves out in big ways and taken much time from their daily lives to really put themselves out in the world for cause they believe in. So I would never put myself in the category of a true activist as some of the people I know. One is the opportunity to do something, to gather with a group of women who are as excited and motivated as I am. That seems exciting. But as I said before, this time seems very important. And I got inspired also because in 1994, my sister and my grandmother actually marched in the March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C. And I love the pictures of them there and the picture of my grandmother. grandmother carrying her sign and being a part of something so stimulating. And I watched how my sister grew after that experience and how she's always been an impassioned advocate and speaks confidently about the things she believes in and is willing to put herself out there, whether it's a popular opinion or not. When she feels strongly for something or someone or some cause, she doesn't hesitate. And I've always felt that that experience of going to Washington, being surrounded by, you know, other people who were equally as emboldened and passionate as her, changed her when she returned. So I am excited to be a part of that. I'm sad I'm not going to be in Washington, D.C. I feel like I didn't act quickly enough because I would have liked to have made that journey. But my daughter, Kelly, will be making the journey to Washington, D.C., and I'm extremely excited for her and carrying on, I guess, a little bit of the family tradition of going and making our thoughts and support part of the cause. But one of the things, you know, as I was thinking about the topic and thinking about the upcoming march and what this means and how socially this has an impact on our community and our culture and our society and our relations with each other, I say, why does there seem to have been such a huge lag from the last march for women's lives in 1994 to here we are in 2017, and the lags between, I mean, there seemed to have been a strong conglomeration, you know, a lot of marches happened around this certain era with the civil rights marches and the Equal Rights Amendment march and the Take Back the Night marches and then the Million Mom March. You know, these all within a 20-year period kind of happened pretty consistently. And then we had kind of this long, I feel like kind of stall of things. We had Occupy Wall Street and that movement, but these kind of civil movements in Washington, D.C., this seemed like a long lull. And my sister-in-law, we were talking about it this weekend, she reminded me that being people who graduated from high school in the 70s and late 70s, we were known as the apathetic generation. That for that generation right after the 60s heyday of, you know, all the civil rights and environmental movement and feminist movement, you know, there was so much energy around making a difference and putting yourself out there, that my generation who came through junior high and high school in the mid to late 70s seemed to kind of run out of steam when it came to getting pumped up or excited about anything. And that was anything on campus. It was uncool to join teams, sports teams, be in clubs, show up and care about something, you know, be enthusiastic about your school. I mean, there was this real apathy that kind of settled over my generation in many ways. And it seems to have kind of held, not held us down, but been kind of this heavy weight maybe over my generation of people in their mid-50s who came out of that apathetic, that apathy of the late 70s. And right now is an opportunity to kind of awaken that, because what's been so exciting to be a mother at this time is to see how that apathy lifted and shifted with our children and how enthusiastic millennials are about everything, about clubs and belonging to teams and speaking out for issues and coming together in groups. And so it's almost like this weekend, this March, this time period is an opportunity to awaken that apathy of this late 70s generation and combine it with the hopefulness of the millennials who are looking for something to hang on to. And so I think that's part of the energy of where we are at this time. 805-781-3875. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Why are you marching?
Because I do not want to feel hopeless. The election made me feel hopeless, and I don't like that. So similar to the fact that I volunteered after 9/11, I see something going on I don't like, I'm going to volunteer so I don't feel helpless against it.
And are you going to be in San Luis Obispo, or where are you going to march?
I will be in San Luis.
And so will you be carrying a sign and wearing purple, or what's your march, you know, your march motivation? Do you come in full gear, or are you just kind of there?
I have a sweatshirt that I purchased that says "You are safe with me," and it has a safety pin on it. I have a poster I've created that has the hands of many different colors and says "equal respect" on it. And I want every woman and every person I know to feel that no matter what goes on in Washington in the next 4, 8, 20 years, we have the power to make the change and not feel helpless that others are going to impose upon us that which isn't constitutional.
And so what are your hopes for our community, for our small community at the end of this?
I hope that this is just the beginning, that we don't just march for one day and say, okay, well, I did my part. No, you need to seek out what bothers you and see how you can affect it, change.
Well, and it's interesting because the Central Coast is known as this very comfortable place to live, right? We don't seemingly have a lot of issues that happen right here. And it feels like it'd be easy to just march one day and then retreat home because it is comfortable. So many people are comfortable. What do you think it'll take to really keep people engaged?
The people who are willing to put in the time on the organizing will need help to do that. And I think it will take constantly putting things out there, making sure that there's the networking that we do on Facebook, but in other ways so that other people are engaged as well.
Because we feel like we have this large ability to contact many people at one time. But in reality, Facebook, which is one of our ways of connecting in mass groups, filters, right? As I talked about earlier, it filters kind of what we get. So maybe it's not actually the best way to get a wide variety of people to be involved in things. And since, you know, people don't easily tune into network television or read papers anymore, I wonder if that is a little bit of a challenge. Like, it's easy to rally the people who think alike, but how do we rally, you know, the divergent thinkers into a community of
action?
Well,
I think we have to go to other groups of people we belong to and share how we feel about things, not be afraid to say, no, that's not how I feel.
Well, I have high hopes, Sue.
I do too.
Thank you for calling in and kicking us off today.
Thanks. Bye.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and the topic today is why we march. Why will you march, or are you marching, or why won't you march? I will take calls either way. I'm curious to know, you know, what does it take to get you out the door? What is it that you're walking for? What is it that you care about? And what are your hopes for this? And have you marched in previous efforts? And what was that like for you? Were you at the Million Mom March or the Take Back the Night marches or the Equal Rights March or the March on Washington in 1963 or the March for Women's Lives in 1994? How did that inspire your life? 805-781-3875. You know, when in researching this idea of why we march, I wanted to look primarily at women's marches, movements that have been kind of inspired by and led by women. And there have been, you know, mass political actions organized by women in the United States since the turn of the century. And many of them have served to like build movements and lead to grassroots community organizing. And each of these movements have been, you know, put together to send a message to those in power that those of us who make up 51% of our population aren't going to settle for the status quo. And these marches, these movements were an opportunity to stand up for and speak out for those who can't speak for themselves or fight alone for themselves. And it's in one of the first organized marches, I was in 1903, and it was organized by Mother Jones, Mary Harris Jones, who was considered a huge rabble-rouser in her time. She was considered by Congress to be one of the most dangerous women in America in her day. And she organized miners. She organized workers. But in 1903, she actually organized a group of children who were working in factories. And she brought them all together and had them parade in front of the city hall in Kensington, Pennsylvania. And they held up their maimed fingers. They were raised in the air, you know, holding them proudly. And this march in front of city hall was the first step that actually led to the passing of the child labor laws that also set up education laws that mandated public education for young people through 12th grade. And we talk a lot about the suffragist movement, right? The suffragist example. And there was many marches and gatherings in Europe in the 1840s and into the late 1800s. And that inspired those seeking the right to vote in the late 19th century here in the United States. And many of the women who were involved in the suffragist movement and the marches in the late 19th century actually had been really involved in and rallied for in their involvement in getting out of slavery, anti-slavery movements, abolition movements. And so many of the women who were of privilege and of entitlement, who had worked on the abolition movement, you know, came away from that and thought, we're fighting for the rights of these people when we don't have the right to vote ourselves. And so that excited them and rallied them together to work on the suffragist movement in the United States and rallying at marching against Woodrow Wilson's inauguration in 1913 and these peaceful marches, but quietly standing in resolve to saying that we won't be quietly standing by and allowing laws to be put into place that affect us when we have no say in what those laws will be. So since the suffragist movement, women have continued to create movements and rallies for the equality, anti-war movement, pro-environment movement, the IRA movement. There was 1.1 million people at the March for Women's Lives in 1994, working to protect and advance access to all for reproductive health and care, health care options. And it's interesting because the most successful marches have been those marches that were a coalition of different groups who came together to kind of stand up for one overwhelming cause. And it seems like that's where we are today, is coming together. But I'm curious, in this coalition of different causes, where do you stand? Why are you marching? Why is this important to you? 805-781-3875. Hi, Jean. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Jean Heidecheck, and I am 77 years old. I obviously didn't participate in the suffragette movement, but I have always been for women's rights, children's rights, and it's time. It's time that I do this.
Is this your first?
I'm sorry?
Is this going to be your first march?
Yes, it is, believe it or not.
It's exciting.
It is very exciting. I actually was through the hippie movement and all that other stuff, but I was a young mother, was never able to participate in anything like that. So I've never done anything like this in my life, but there's come a time when you just have to stand up.
And what motivates you at this time? Why is this time motivating you to get out the door?
Well, I think it's Roe versus Wade. Many of these things that may very possibly that we have worked so hard for all these years, and now they all may be taken away. If I feel like we're going backwards, mm-hmm. and this can't be. I mean, the women. I guess I'm a little frustrated because of the apathy of the young women today. Mm-hmm. They're kind of an in-between group, I think. I thought maybe when that movement came out, the movie about the suffragettes, that they would maybe begin to rally a little bit more about what's going on in this country, but it doesn't seem to be happening. And I really think that they need... The young women today, this is their future. They have got to step up. We're too old. We're going to be gone. But if they want things to happen, they've really got to get on board and get to it. So I'm going to be marching.
And will you be carrying a sign, Jean?
If they give me one, sure. I don't have anything that I'm making up necessarily, but I'm sure there'll be things going on there that maybe the group that I'm going with will have, and I would be happy to do so.
And are you with a group of friends, or are you with an organized group?
No, I'm with a group of friends. I belong to a women's hiking group. We're called the Sierra Sisters, and we've been hiking together for about 10 years. We're all very, very close friends, and we all think alike at this point in time and realize how valuable it is that we make a presence. And so that's where we're all going to be there.
Well, and I think it is that grandmother wisdom that we need to pass along. That we need to pass along to the next generation. You know, that there is kind of that gap between the grandmothers in our culture and the young women who are working very hard and trying to find the time to participate. And as Jean mentioned, you know, when we had the 60s civil rights movement and the feminist movement and the first environmental movements, she was a young mother raising children. And that's a lot to ask someone who's in the throes of trying to work full time and raise a family and keep up with activities and then to also be marching, that there feels like there is this need for that grandmother and post-parenting group of women to get really activated. And as I mentioned before, I came out of that late 70s kind of apathetic graduating class who'd never really participated in anything. So I think for a lot of my generation, this is a first. And so I think that's why it's exciting, because it's a multi-generational effort to reignite people's excitement about being a part of something. 805-781-3875 if you'd like to be part of this conversation. And I ask you why you march. Vincent, why do you march?
Yeah. Well, I'm marching because I have a wife, I have a mother, I have sisters and nieces, and I'm marching in support of all of them and everybody that has been disrespected recently, and want to show my support.
So this feels very personal to you.
Oh, it is. I think, I think that, we can't really tolerate some of the things and views that have come out recently through the election, and we need to put our shoe leather and our words and our actions to hold and speak to let people know that we don't accept what's been promulgated.
And will you be walking locally, or where are you going to be marching this weekend?
Probably in San Luis. There's a possibility we might go down to L.A. Depends.
Too bad they're not at different times. You could kind of work your way through the state.
Yeah, I was looking when you mentioned that there's the website. I looked and saw that some of them are at different times, and it looks like it's going to be possible for people to make multiple marches if they're so inclined.
Yeah, the San Francisco march actually is in the afternoon from 3 to 7, and they're going to do a moonlight or an evening vigil from 5 to 7, a candlelight march, excuse me, from 5 to 7. So you could ostensibly do San Luis Obispo and get up to San Francisco. It's just, I think it would be exciting to see the presence all the way across the state.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not sure if I can commit to that, but
that's all right. You're going to make your presence known. And are you going to be carrying a sign?
Not sure. I'm not sure if we are or not. I'm trying to think of positive things to put on the sign. I'm not sure if I can come up with any positive.
I have one for you.
Okay.
I saw this on a website with different sign ideas. It said, "Men of quality do not fear equality."
Wow. That's very good. I'll think of that.
All right. I'll look for you at the march. Thanks for calling in, Vincent.
Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I was looking through Rolling Stone's article about the upcoming march. And they said, although the organizers of the march said that although the march itself was inspired by the campaign and election of Trump, this march isn't about President Trump, but rather about addressing the systemic inequalities that he is bringing to light by his behaviors and his cabinet choices. And so the organizers actually came together and put, I don't know if you've read about the intention of the march. If you are marching, it might be interesting to read their 4-page document talking about the motivation for the march, because it's quite a broad range of things that the march is trying to encompass, like gender equality, racial equality, LGBTQIA equality, economic justice, reproductive freedom, equal pay, paid family leave, labor protections, clean air and water protections, access to public lands, end of violence against women, police brutality, and racial profiling. The march is intended to encompass climate justice, racial justice, immigrant rights, reproductive rights, and Native rights, to unite everyone together, an effort to bring all these movements together. And what's interesting, like good feminists throughout history, the feminist movements have always been about speaking out for the oppressed, speaking out for those who couldn't speak for themselves, whether it was children or the environment or those who did not have access to social justice. This event, this platform, is purposely wide to bring together a wide variety of people. So of all those platforms, which one draws you to the march? Which one inspires you to be part of the movement? Hi, Carol, you're on the air. What's causing you to want to march?
I happen to be passing down the coast traveling, and with the inauguration coming up, I knew I needed someplace to land. And I would listen to the radio all of the time, and I heard your program because I've been wondering where the marches are going to take place. So, ironically, I had my first protest when I was about 17 or 18 in Indiana, and we protested a nuclear plant. A couple years after that, I came out to San Luis Obispo to protest the blockade against Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. In the decades in between, I have taken to the streets. I have volunteered. I have spoken to other people because I believe that connecting to other people, extending community, you know, it is not about anything beyond the fact that we are all human beings and we all bleed the same way and we all cry at the same salty tears. Mm-hmm. I believe that we should get out and march and protest because we can. And there are so many people who can't, who have given their lives for this opportunity. And I also think that a lot of the young people, and I have so much hope, but I think that they've been living in a world where they've had the advantages and the privileges and yet don't honestly know the history and the sacrifices that have brought things forth. Is it okay if I say one more thing?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't believe that we are any different today as a country, as a nation, as an American culture, than we were 6 months ago, 2 years ago, 8 years ago. But I believe that some spotlights have been lit to shine light on some of the things that have been going on for years, decades, centuries. And I do believe that it is joining together, and I think that women are really powerful and responsible in doing this because the nature of our being. But I think what you said at the beginning of the program, it's no longer an issue of women's rights or racial equality or social justice. It's all of it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't come together and connect as human beings, because we can, and we need each other.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to stop in San Luis Obispo and have my second march.
I look forward to seeing you there, Carol. Thank you for taking the time to call.
Thank you.
And it's interesting because when we talk about kind of the younger generation of women taking things for granted, I don't think it's because of their lack of interest or they're not appreciating the opportunities that they've had because of the efforts of women who've come before them. I think that there is this general misunderstanding that all of those fights have been fought, that there's no reason that we need to take to the streets for women's issues anymore, that we have equality. And I think it's easy to only look at our opportunities and not recognize the depth and breadth of the inequality that still exists. I think that the story that we're told through the media and through culture is that equality exists, and why would we bother to fight? And you see all these young women in school or out in the workforce, but we still represent, it's such a small representation. So I don't think it's an issue of being entitled, but I think it's an issue of being uninformed. And this is the opportunity to create more information or more understanding. And also, I think when there is this sense that things are already being done, that we can back off, right? That when we had a president in office that we feel is fighting the fights that we care about, then there's a sense that we can back off and not have to come out and fight, you know. But now more than ever, there's a sense that there's no one out there fighting the fight, and it has fallen back on us. And in some way, it's a gift to have this opportunity to realize that there is no one person fighting the fight, that just because nonprofits exist like NOW or Planned Parenthood or NRDC or Earth Justice, that doesn't mean that they've got it all handled. And so it's become this personal experience where we're all part of what's happening and needing to stand up and do something. 805-781-3875. Hi, Dawn, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Dawn Addison, co-founder of the Women's March San Luis Obispo.
Hi there. Why are you marching?
I just caught that you were talking about this and thought that I would give a call.
So I guess I'm just asking in general for everyone, what is it that's bringing them out to march? What's motivating them, you to march?
What's motivating me to march is the people in my midst that are feeling afraid and the people in my midst that are feeling like they're no longer welcome and wanting to get out. But I was also hoping just to share a little bit about the march and let the public know that we have almost 5,000 people registered to come to the march. So it's going to be a historic day here in San Luis Obispo. And to let people know to please come early, but also to have patience and be safe. But I really would like people to know it is a march, not a protest. I know you were talking a little bit about how the two are different. And that we're really asking people not to target any one person or any one political party, but to really think about what you want for your future and what you're asking of your new administration.
Beautifully said. And Dawn, if people want information about the local march, where can they go?
They can go to our website, which is Women's, W-O-M-E-N-S, marchslow.com.
And
we have all our information, and we really are asking people to register. The only way that we can provide a safe and successful day is if we have a sense of our numbers, and we know we're not going to be able to count every single person. But as we've seen, our numbers have grown from 1,000 to almost 5,000 in about 2 weeks. So I think people are really catching on and wanting to join this movement. And the more we know about how many people are coming, the easier it is for us to ensure that we have the appropriate safety services, that we have enough bathrooms. We want it to be a safe and successful day for everybody. So the last thing we want is to not plan well.
Absolutely.
So
thank
registering
you.
Really helps us with that.
And rain or shine, right, Dawn? And make sure you wear raincoats. Umbrellas take up a lot of room.
Yeah, so please, raincoats and ponchos, rain or shine, we're on. Be aware that the park will be muddy. We're expecting a lot of rain on Friday. Right now, the rain reports are calling for about 40% chance of rain on Saturday morning with sun in the afternoon. And so wear shoes that you don't mind getting muddy. We've upped the number of chairs that we're renting to 150. We'd really like those reserved for people with disabilities or mobility issues, age-related mobility issues, so that we have seating for people who truly, truly need it. Our rally starts promptly at 10 o'clock and will probably go till about 10:40. And then we are going to need to get our banner holders, which is myself and the other organizers and the entertainers, from the gazebo to the starting point of the march. So we're going to be asking the crowd to kind of split for us to walk through, which could be challenging with a lot of people there. So I'm just asking everyone to come out, understand that 5,000 people at Mitchell Park could feel a little bit crowded. So we're going to all need to have some patience and some caring with each other on that day, which I don't think will be hard with this crowd of folks that wants to come out for the march.
Absolutely, Dawn. Thank you for taking the time to call. Thank you for putting this together and allowing us this opportunity to come together as a community and to kind of feel the inspiration that comes up when you are arm to arm, right, shoulder to shoulder with people who are equally as impassioned about a subject as you are. And we're going to continue our conversation about why we march in just a moment. This is Public Radio KCBX, A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Charlie, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just wanted to remind people again that there's going to be a march in Lompoc, sponsored by the Lompoc Valley Democratic Club. We're meeting at the Democratic headquarters, which is right on South 8th Street, it's the corner of H and Ocean. And we're meeting at 10 o'clock at the club to make signs, and we're going to be marching probably a couple blocks south to Centennial Park near the museum. And again, we're stressing positive signs, and I think we're concerned about what's happening in general. Anyway.
Well, and it's happy to see that these are happening in, you know, not just in a great big scale in Washington, Charlie, but also in the small communities, because the people who organized this said that, you know, they're putting this march together to bring women together, bring men and women together on a large variety of issues in hopes that they will go back to their individual communities fired up about a particular issue that concerns them and to work on that issue in their individual community. And I think that's where most of our success will be, is to bring the large concerns down to the small communities and work the efforts there.
I have a number to call for information.
Okay, share it.
Morrell Brooks, 733-3462 for questions on that. Yeah, Lompoc is a small enough community, I think. And we had a really great Martin Luther King event yesterday at one of the local schools, El Camino Community School.
Well, and Charlie, thank you for reminding us that there are things happening in communities all over the area. And so if people want more information, I'm sure if you peruse the websites or look online on your different news medias, we'll be able to find out activities that are happening all over. 805-781-3875. I'm asking why we march. What's inspiring you to get out there and get your feet, I guess, dirty if it's muddy, or your feet wet, or your feet a little calloused? Annabelle, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, Professor Barrett.
Hi, Annabelle. So I see you're going to Washington, hmm?
Yeah, I'm going to Washington, and I just wanted to say I'm really glad you're having this conversation, because I'm really, really fired up to go, but the closer it gets, the more nervous I'm getting, because I'm realizing how big this actually is. And so I guess, if there's any one reason that I'm going, it's to stand up against the idea that it's okay to use power to violate others or to violate the environment or anything that you can take advantage of. And then I just wanted to say, speaking from a young woman's perspective, all the young women I know care deeply about all these issues, and particularly women's issues, and I know we're really excited that we have a unified effort to go and be a part of and join in. So.
And I think that's for a lot of people, is that they've got the motivation, they have the passion, they need a platform. And I think this is the beginning of a platform. And when you get out to Washington, look for my Kelly, Annabelle.
I will.
You two will be the strong blonde girls representing out here.
Yes, we will.
All right, and post lots of pictures. We look forward to hearing how it went for you.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Be safe. And Shauna, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for opening up the lines to us. I wanted to call in because I'm one of the organizers of the sister event to follow the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concert to be held at Fremont Theater. It's called United We Rise, and we are in partnership with Numbskull Productions and Good Medicine Presents. And we're super grateful for their support. And we have 18 slow women musicians coming together in collaboration to stand up and to be visible for change.
You sound so excited. I can hear it in your voice. You're ready for this to happen.
I am ecstatic. I just can't believe I had this like little tiny bold inspiration, and I was like, I wonder if I can make this happen. And the swiftness of everybody coming behind this idea and how many women just really stepped up is just, it's blowing my mind. And it's a really big inspiration to me to how our future can and will be.
Mm-hmm. And it takes everyone keeping this enthusiasm up and not getting deterred to realize that, that there are more people feeling the way you are than people who feel differently. And if people are interested in coming out to the concert, United We Rise, information can be found?
We have a Facebook event called United We Rise. We are doing ticket sales, and we are raising money to help the production costs of the march itself.
Okay.
So it's coming full circle, and we're really excited that the opportunity exists for us to support them in that way. Tickets are $10, and they can be found at Boo Boo Records or at Ticketfly. There's also a direct link on our Facebook event, which is under United We Rise, a concert for change.
Fantastic. Shauna, enjoy your Saturday, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Saturday.
All righty. And I'm asked at the beginning of the show why we march. If you're getting out there this Saturday, no matter where it's going to be, what is bringing you out to march? You know, these past movements, primarily the women's marches, the women's movements, have been traditionally led and organized by white women who were focused on those familiar concerns that we talk about, like equal pay, reproductive rights, you know, the issues of many women. But what's different about this march, the difference in the tenor of this march, is that this march has been led by a coalition of women of color, of different backgrounds, who have been inspired and have aspired to come together in this intersectional way to bring about an understanding and awareness of the many variety of issues that impact human beings, everything from racial injustice, social justice, environmental justice. We're talking about access for immigrants' rights, for those who do caregiving. You know, historically, women of color carry the biggest burden when it comes to caretaking in our culture, whether it's children or the elderly or the sick. And this segment of our population has the least amount of protections and lowest income levels and least amount of support. And so part of the march is to bring about an awareness of needing to make the work of the caregiver seen as true work that is valued as much as the work as someone who is in a hedge fund. We're talking about a movement that brings about these different agendas from all different aspects of our culture. And so I'm curious to know, why is it that you march? What's inspiring you to get out the door? And have you marched before? Joan, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Why do you march?
Hi, Elizabeth. My name is Joan, and I could march for many, many various reasons: equality for women, equality for immigrants, climate change, using alternative energy. But my sign will say, stand up for the disabled. Mm-hmm. My grandson, Evan, is the young man who fell from Bishop's Peak a few weeks ago, and he's paralyzed from the waist down right now. And so that's what my sign will say, stand up for the disabled.
Joan, thank you for sharing that. And please send my love to the Lonnies, who have actually been a part of my family for many, many years. So
I know they have. And thank you so much, Elizabeth, for having the show and for allowing me to speak.
I will see you on Saturday carrying your sign proudly.
I'll see you then.
805-781-3875. Hi, Rosemary. You're on the air. Why do you march?
I march for solidarity because there are so many of us that feel alone in our own homes that we feel like, oh, what could I possibly do? But when you see the numbers marching, you don't feel alone anymore. It gives you a feeling of strength, your strength going to them and their strength going to you, and you can walk away much, much better in a mental health state rather than feeling helpless. I've marched at the Diablo Canyon before it was built, trying to protest that it be built. I also marched in second President Bush's term to not have the war. I think we marched every month, you know, trying to get him to not have the war. But I think civics, this is my main thing, is in high school civics, the summer of 1960, which was an election year, I had to take that course in the summer, which meant very accelerated. And I can still remember the teacher's name, Mr. Galliano. So besides the text that we had to read, we had to attend a city council meeting, a school board meeting, a county board of supervisors meeting, and that meant I had to travel from San Gabriel into downtown Los Angeles for that one, and also a Democratic platform committee. I had to go, and we had to write up something on each one of these different levels of government. It gave us a real knowledge of all the different levels, from city to county and to the country. And because I took this class in the summer, it was because I had been voted to be on the executive board. And I was the only Mexican on that executive board. The only one, and I felt quite, I mean, I didn't realize there weren't that many Mexicans in the high school either. So my tender point has always been standing up for minorities, the people who often are too shy, too fearful to step forward. And I'm not just being supportive of minorities. I'm in support of a clean environment, or at least not making it any dirtier. So many human rights issues that are being threatened right now. I'm not going to carry a sign. I'm just going to sense my solidarity and share that with everybody that surrounds me. I am a senior, and I want to remind people that there will be many seniors there, also families with young children. So for people to be kind, those people in between seniors and children, be kind to those around you so you don't, you know, move too quickly in any direction to keep everybody safe and on their feet.
Well, and Rosemary, I appreciate your call for many reasons. First, it is important that we continue to teach civics in the schools. And I think now more than ever, some movement, you know, I think mine is marching for education equality and expanding what we define as education for young people, because I think we focus so much in preparing young people for the workforce that we've taken out much of the curriculum that prepared them to be citizens. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Our high school had a mock election in the fall of 1960, and the person who won was not our president. It was Richard Nixon who won in our mock election in that high school. So that gave me a view that the high school I went to was a very conservative, mostly Anglo-Saxon school.
And so you've continued to be a part of the civic world your entire life, and you're going to bring it out this weekend.
Yes.
And share it again. I will look for you, and I will be kind, and I will move slowly.
Thank you.
Because I think what you're saying is correct. If we're coming together, there has to be this sense of unity in how we move and interact with each other en masse. And this is going to be our first lesson in how is it we come together with all of these differing agendas, but with one thing that we share in common, which is the highest hopes for what our country can be. And I read this beautiful quote that said, patriotism means standing up for your country's values, not pledging your personal allegiance to a specific leader. And so here's our opportunity to grab a hold of the highest values that our country stands for and to make them our own, to feel some sort of ownership, and to understand that we can get lost if there's too many things that we care about and too many things that we worry about. You know, the platform for this march is covering everything from the feminist issues of wage gap, reproductive freedoms, ending violence against women, fighting for paid family leave. But it also includes all these human issues like ending police brutality, racial profiling and mass incarceration, recognizing LGBTQIA rights as human rights. This march is calling for the work and rights of caregivers to be seen as work, and that that this burden of care be recognized as a value. This march is about recognizing the work of unions as critical to a healthy and thriving economy for all. This march this weekend is an opportunity to stand in solidarity for immigrant and refugee rights. This march platform includes rights for those with disabilities, standing up for protecting the environment and acting on climate change. This march is about maintaining and ensuring access to clean water and air for all. And this march is about gender justice and racial justice and economic justice for everyone. This is a broad platform that we're talking about, and it gives you some indication of how many issues that are out there that still need to be addressed. And so I encourage you to take a moment to read the information about the Women's March, the intention of the Women's March. It's just 3 pages. And they give you a really great sense of who came together to organize this. You know, the original Facebook post of this event was created by a grandmother in Hawaii who was so upset after the election that she just started an event and it just took off. And then she handed the reins over to this group of young women of all different backgrounds to bring together this platform that we are marching for on Saturday. And so take the time to read it and then go and listen to the rallies, listen to the speeches. And then my hope is that ultimately you will come away with something, one issue that you feel passionately about, that you can do something about in your community or on a national scale. But to find one issue, if we each grabbed one issue and put everything into it, just think of the difference we could make. The differences we could make. 5 minutes a day, 5 times a week can change everything. And this has been A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And as always, I appreciate you supporting Public Radio KCBX. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. You can find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. I look forward to hearing about what your adventure was like. And I most look forward to the next 4 years and seeing what we can accomplish when we put our feet to the ground.
Just because.